Okay, imagine you're flipping through the newspaper, right? And you see this ad for like a super fancy fur coat,
Oh, yeah.
like hundreds of dollars. But the ad says it's just $1
Wow.
for the first person who gets to the store. Now,
Sounds too good to be true.
right, you probably think like, is this a typo or some kind of trick, right? But what if you were that person? You rush down there, you're first in line, and they wouldn't sell it to you.
Oof. That's got to be frustrating.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened in this case from like in the 1950s.
Yeah.
And it actually had a big impact on how we think about advertising and the law.
Right. This case really shows us something important about contract law. Like most ads you see, they're not actually like legally binding offers. They're more like an invitation to come in and maybe, start talking about a deal. But this case, it's called Lefkowitz v. Great Minneapolis Surplus Store. It showed that sometimes an ad can be so specific, it actually does become a real offer.
So, like in this case, we're back in 1956.
Yeah.
And this store, the Great Minneapolis Surplus Store, they run these two newspaper ads. And they're pretty wild. So, one ad, it's offering three brand new fur coats, each one worth up to $100, but they're selling them for $1 each.
Whoa.
Then, a week later, they run another ad, same kind of deal. This time, it's a fancy Lappin stole, worth almost $140.
Oh.
Again, just $1. And both ads, they say very clearly, first come, first served.
I bet people were lining
Oh
up.
yeah, you can practically picture the scene, right?
Yeah,
Everyone racing to the store.
definitely. That's where our main character comes in, Morris Lefkowitz.
Okay.
He sees these ads and he's like, game on, shows up early, ready to claim his prize.
Yeah.
And the thing is, he was the first one there, both times, ready with his dollar, thinking, I'm getting a fur coat, but the store wouldn't sell to him.
Seriously, they advertised this amazing deal. He's the first one there, ready
Yeah,
to pay.
I know.
What was their excuse?
They tried to say they had this like unwritten house rule. Yeah. They claimed the fur coat offers, they were only for women. And since Lefkowitz was a man, well, they said he couldn't buy one.
So wait, hold on. They're saying this house rule that no one even knew about
Right.
overrides their own ad. Like, that seems kind of shady,
I
right?
mean, if I was Lefkowitz, I'd be fuming.
I bet. So what did he do? Did he just walk away?
Oh no! Lefkowitz, he wasn't giving up that easily. He actually sued them.
For real. He took them to court over this.
Yep, he sued them for breach of contract, basically saying they had to honor what they said in the ads.
So it became this legal battle over
Yeah.
whether those ads were actually binding offers.
Exactly. That was the big question the court had to figure out. Did those newspaper ads create a real
Or
contract?
were they just, like the store said, like, come on in, let's make a deal. It's interesting because it seems kind of simple, right? A guy, a fur coat, a dollar,
Yeah.
but really gets at the heart of how contracts work.
Absolutely. It wasn't just about fur coats. It was about setting a precedent. Like, how do we interpret advertising, legally speaking? Yeah. And here's where things get really interesting, right? Like, any lawyer or law student listening to this is going to be a good one. The case actually goes all the way to the Supreme Court of Minnesota.
Oh, all the way to the state Supreme Court over a $1 fur coat.
I know, right? It seems kind of crazy. But the court actually sided with Lefkowitz.
Really? So they said the store had to sell him the coat.
Well, not exactly the coat, but they said the ad was a legally binding offer.
Okay, so how did they decide that?
Well, the court basically said that an ad, it can be an offer,
Right.
but only if it's super clear and definite. Like it can't leave any room for negotiation.
So they felt like the store's ads with specific items and the price and that whole first come, first serve thing, it was basically like a contract, right?
Exactly. The court was saying, like, the moment someone met those conditions, boom, a contract was formed. The store couldn't just back out and say, oh, we were just kidding.
So I guess, like, if an ad just says houses for sale, that's not specific enough.
Right. That's just an invitation to negotiate. But if
Yeah.
you say this specific house, this price to the first buyer, then you're getting into offer territory.
Makes sense. But couldn't the store argue that, come on, no one really thinks you're going to sell a fur coat for a dollar? Like, it was just a publicity stunt or something.
Yeah, that's a good point. But the court, they focus on what the ad said, not what the store might have been thinking.
Okay.
The ad didn't say, this is too good to be true, wink, wink. So the court said, consumers, they should be able to trust what they read.
So even if the store made a mistake, it doesn't matter as much as what the ad actually said.
Pretty much, yeah. The court didn't buy the whole house rule thing either. They basically said you can't just add new conditions after someone's already accepted your offer.
It's going to be a tough lesson for businesses, right?
Yeah.
Like, be careful what you put in your ads or you might be stuck with it.
Definitely. It raises some interesting questions, though, right? Like, what if a website accidentally lists a $1,000 item for, like, 10 bucks because of a glitch or something?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Do they have be to honor that price?
Yeah.
Even if it was obviously a mistake?
Right. It's a tough one. And this Lefkowitz case, it actually provides a framework for thinking about those situations.
So how did this all play out for Lefkowitz in the end? I mean, did he get his fur coat? Or at least some money?
Well, that's where things get a little tricky. See, he showed up ready to buy both the fur coat and the stole, right?
Right.
So he sued for both. And the court, they actually did award him damages for the stole.
Okay. How did they figure out how much?
That one was easy. Because the ad said the stole was worth like $139.50. So the court said, okay, he's entitled to that minus the $1 he would have paid.
Right. So basically he got like $138.50. Not bad. What about the fur coat?
Ugh. That one was more complicated. Because the ad, it only said the coats were worth up to $100 each. But it didn't say the exact price of each individual coat.
Oh, I see.
So the court said, we can't really figure out the damages because we don't know the exact value of those coats.
Wow. So even though the offer for the coat was valid, the missing details about the price, it kind of messed things up.
Yeah, exactly. And it just goes to show how important clear language is in contracts, right? Ambiguity can lead to all sorts of problems.
Like this case, it really kind of set a new standard, right?
Right.
For both businesses and like regular people, you know, when it comes to ads and contracts.
Yeah, absolutely. It shows how a case that seems pretty simple on the surface can actually have these huge, long-lasting effects.
So for our listeners out there, the ones who aren't lawyers or law students or whatever, what would you say is like the biggest takeaway from all of this? Like when you see a really good deal, you know, what should you be thinking about?
Well, I think the most important thing is clarity is key. When you see an ad and it seems too good to be true, you got to really look at the wording, you know, like, is it specific? Does it say all the terms and conditions? Are there any like little disclaimers hidden in there?
So basically, don't just jump at the first amazing deal you see, right?
Exactly. Take a second, read the fine print, make sure you understand everything before you, you know, commit to anything.
Makes sense. And I guess on the other side, if you're a business, you got to be super careful about how you write your ads.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Be clear, be specific. Spell everything out, and don't be afraid to use those disclaimers, you know, just to protect yourself.
So it's kind of like this constant back and forth, right? Consumers are getting smarter about their rights, and businesses are trying to stay ahead of the game.
Right. It's definitely this dynamic interplay, you know. Cases like Lefkowitz, they force everyone to be more aware of how contract law works.
Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground here today. Anything else about this case? Any, like, final thoughts our listeners should chew on?
Well, here's something to think about. How do we find the right balance, right, between protecting consumers from deceptive ads, but also giving businesses the freedom to promote their stuff?
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's not easy, you know? It's something that courts and lawyers are still debating today.
Well, that's a perfect note to end on. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into Lefkowitz v. Great Minneapolis Surplus Store. It's been a really interesting look at contract law, advertising, and of course, the power of a good bargain.